Well, the other big revelation this week is that one of our favourite tipsters on this show, Uncle Laurie, has a social media account. That's how good Uncle Laurie's going. And the great Yvonne Sampson from Fox League joining us. Vonnie, he's going viral.
He's going big. He's on the socials. He's putting his chips out. And, of course, everyone should gamble responsibly. But Uncle Loz is on the Twitter.
Well, he backed a horse, Miss Dior, last week. Ran second.
Yes.
10-1.
Yes. And he's got one, the chip for this week, Rose Hill Race 10, number 11. Zakat out of the Uncle Laurie Black Book.
Okay, gosh, we're going early this week.
We're going early.
That's usually an end of segment thing, Vonnie, but let's go early. Race 10, number 11.
What price have we got?
That's all right.
You've ruined his structure, Vonnie. You've thrown him.
Give it another mention right at the end. What price, Minnow? What have we got?
Listen here, you people.
What have we got? Just give me the price.
Race 10, number 11, Zakat, is $8.50 and $2.70 the place in a pretty good race as well. Frosty Rocks, the favourite there. Ventura Ocean. Big Boy Roy. Madam Boy Legend. Roy. Okay, Zakat. That's the one, isn't it, Vonnie?
Yeah,
race
sorry,
10, number 11. No.
You've rattled him, Vonnie. He's all over the shop now.
What do we do now?
Yeah.
I just didn't realise it was top and tail this segment.
Gerald Gustafson.
All right, Vonnie. Now, talk to me. Lachlan Lewis and Cody Walker. So, yesterday we had Damien Cook defend his teammate and say he didn't say that. As in, go back to reserve grade. Denny Widener indicated it, similar to us earlier in the week. What are you hearing around the traps? What was said to cause Lachlan Lewis to go all WWE on Cody Walker?
Well, we went through it with a forensic style through the video with our replay expert, Rowie at Fox. And so we were trying to lip read. And look, we're just a bunch of idiots as well. We're standing around saying, what is that word? What's he saying there? We really couldn't find anything that would trigger Lachlan Lewis to that extent. I think Lachie's pretty embarrassed about the whole thing. But to the best of our knowledge, it does look like he says go back to reserve grade, which is weird because Cody was in reserve grade till he was about 26 or something. So it's a fair sledge. But I don't know. It was just a weird thing. It was just when you thought you'd seen it all in rugby leagues and something like that happens and you go, wait, what? And you're trying to go, hang on, what's happened here? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, they're in the doja in the, you know, the Taekwondo, you know, main event and it's bizarre. But look, it was it gave us something to talk about for the week. And I think Cody Walker, we know that he's got a bit of a temper and you know, I think if you're going to get targeted like that, you know, it's you're going to have a long-running battle and you just don't want Cody to sort of get that reputation where if you rattle him, you can put him off his game. So, yeah, it made the highlights real. It gave us a reason to run Kung Fu Fighting anyway on 360. So, you know, we weren't that upset about it.
Vonnie, on this one, is Lachlan Lewis better off just doing the media ASAP and coming out and saying, you know what, it's actually irrelevant what was said. I should have done what I did, and it stayed on the field. It stays on the field. That's the end of story. Like, the fact that we're still having a conversation about it today, he said, she said, I know what that feels like. And as a player, sometimes you just want to leave it and hope that it goes away, but it never does. Until you front it, it's not going to go away.
Well, you know better than anyone. You just go out, you tell the media, you give them the 10-second grab that they need, and then everyone just moves on. But here we are, you're right. And it's stupid that we're still talking about it, but... look, Lachlan Lewis, I did approach the Bulldogs, their CEO, Aaron Warburton, earlier this week, obviously, and said, how does Lachie want to handle it? And he said, look, he's just really embarrassed. We're just going to keep it quiet. But which then kind of lets our imaginations run wild.
Should even say that. He should say, I'm embarrassed about it. If he says that, I think everyone goes, yep, understand. It's dealt with then.
Yeah, exactly. But here we are. We're about to kick off the next round and we're still looking in the rear vision mirror going, I wonder what that was.
Hey, funny, can I ask, not so much about what Penrith have done, because if you're in the situation, you probably do it. Well, I could possibly do it, sign a player, if it was going to help me win a competition. But are you comfortable with the NRL allowing players to switch club like a Tevita Pengai Jr., leaving the Broncos, go and sign a short-term deal with Penrith and then move on to the Bulldogs next year? Are you comfortable with it being the 1st of August, that deadline, or would you prefer it to go back to June 30?
I'd prefer it went back a little bit, and I understand why they brought it forward because of last year with our COVID situation, just to give a little bit more leeway. But they sort of left it at that August 1st. But just the horse trading that's going on at the moment. And look, I understand that, you know, winning a premiership is the business of rugby league. I know that's what it is. And I know it comes down to dollars and cents often. So let's say Tevita Pangai, Penrith are paying $130,000 for him for the 5 games that he is available for them before they hit finals, and hopefully well into this finals campaign for Penrith. And so Tevita will potentially go from wooden spooners to a premiership ring. And it's just those optics that sit a little bit uncomfortably with me. And look, I'm a Broncos fan, so it is a bizarre thing to think. At 25 years old, he's been our rampaging, damaging forward. He's got a few mishaps in him. He's controversial, but he has been a Brisbane Bronco. Now, all of a sudden, at the end of this year, he could be standing on that first Sunday in October on Grand Final Day with a Penrith Premiership to his credit. It is bizarre, and those guns for hire, I guess that's the way we're heading as a code. Kenty tried to explain the money to me, but I'm either A, too dumb, or B, don't care, because I think at the end of the day it's just about fans. And I would hate to see, look, Tevita Pangai, that's just sort of, you know, the example we're talking about, but you would hate to see a star player just say, all right, fellas, well, all the best, I'm just going to pop off down the street and just take up with the Roosters. Or it just looks like the rich robbing from the poor. And when you look at how poorly the Brisbane Broncos are travelling at the moment, it just doesn't look great. And it doesn't sit, to be fair, I just don't think it passes the pub test.
I totally agree with you, Vonnie. What's been the feedback for the Wild West Tigers doco? We certainly enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so glad. We were really proud of it. It was a long negotiation to try and make sure that West Tigers were happy, first and foremost, to let us into the club. And our cameraman, Matty Beach and Charlie Lambert, they've done a really good job through the year just to make sure they set up all the GoPros and mic up. And look, there has been moments where Matt just sort of pulled off the microphones and said nut, or kicked us out of certain areas. But that was sort of early in the season. You know, especially those early losses, they were brutal. And, you know, we'd be rubbing our hands together, like, oh, let us into the video review. It's going to be a slaughterhouse in there. But, you know, it was just once we established that trust. So episode 2 airs August 9, and it is very dramatic, because if you remember the West Tigers, it was that, you know, that week that we lost the great Tommy Raudonikis, they were at Leichhardt Oval, the Cowboys came out and obliterated them, and then that incredible loss to the Bunnies. So we take you inside the West Tigers for those results, and, it gets very, very heated and very candid, so I can't wait for episode 2. But I think fans just really appreciate, they do have an appetite for reality rugby league, and that's how we're going with all of our entertainment. You guys were talking about earlier, The Bachelor and the Kardashians and the geeks and whatever. People just want that reality, and I think rugby league is probably the perfect soap opera. We've said it forever that, you know, if you can get a camera in there, establish a bit of trust, and, yeah, just let it roll. It's pretty fascinating.
Vonnie, what do the Tigers get out of it? Are they paid a significant fee? Is it about trying to get their fans to understand? You know, is it Madge trying to show the fans what's going on so they know how hard he's working or how hard the team's working? You know, I don't understand what the Tigers are getting out of it.
No money, that's for sure. It was just a handshake agreement. And I think because it's never been done before in the NRL, we've never had this level of access. So the Tigers wanted to be on the cutting edge in that regard. And they also know that they're in a really tricky position, that they haven't played finals for 10 years. So as a business model, if you are failing for the last decade in achieving your objective, people want to know why. So they thought it would be a strength to open up the club and say, this is what goes on with us. And I think to give fans and stakeholders and, you know, all that support network a good dose of reality as to how hard they are working, it was going to be a strength. So they wanted that earnestness and that authenticity to be a strength for them going forward. So, look, it's, in terms of money, we haven't paid anyone. They haven't paid us. We're doing it on the smell of an oily rag budget-wise. We've got one editor working on it who's just about had a mental breakdown. But no, I think it's just it's the first of its kind. We wanted to make it really good, and a lot of that just comes down to trust. But what do the West Tigers get out of it? I think they earn a fair bit of respect out in the fan world. I think just the response after episode one, it changed people's perceptions pretty quickly.
Talking about respect, the Bulldogs during the week announced Phil Gould as their general manager of football. This could possibly be their best ever signing.
Oh, how good's Gussie? I did a business lunch with Canterbury Bankstown last month, and Gus was the keynote speaker. And it was just when, you know, it was all sort of kicking off, and he'd already said no to them the first time because he was working with the Warriors and hoping to get over to New Zealand, but obviously COVID's put pay to that. So he jumped up on stage and I said, Gussie, I thought you said you weren't coming back to the Bulldogs. And you know what? But that's a club that he's loved for a long, long time, you know, decades. And, you know, he won a premiership there as a coach. He played there as a young man. I think an eye injury kept him out of a premiership winning team. If you're looking for business sense, if you're looking for administrative clout, I don't think anyone could knock Gus with what he does. He is highly sought after because he understands the business of running a club. And look, everyone made fun of him of the 5-year plan for the Panthers, but no one could knock him at the moment where the Panthers are. And a lot of that legwork, that nursery, the academy, that's all down to a lot of hard work from Gus. So, yeah, I think it's a great move for them. And then for him to have DNA for the blue and white as well just adds to it. And he spent a lot of that afternoon talking to Steve Hansen, the All Blacks legendary coach, just about culture and what it is. And you know, the Bulldogs are hopefully trying to build a better future. And Steve got up and sat beside Gus and said, if this club, given the people that you've now got in place, and the rugby league IQ you now have, if you aren't competing for a premiership within 4 years, you've got to have a serious look at yourself. So, I mean, that's their very... It's a tight timeline that they've set themselves, but hopefully Gus is the man to deliver it.
Okay, so round 19. Deary me, looking at the markets with Tab, there's only one game where the line is in single figures heading into this round, such is the gap in class in this competition at the moment. But we start with the decent game tonight. It's at Cbus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. It is a wide market, though. Parramatta are 15.5-point favourites at $1.17 with Tab. The Raiders are $4.80. And, of course, the big news during the week was Mitchell Moses suffered a back fracture during Origin, so he's not back yet. Dylan Brown and Jake Arthur to partner in the halves. Blake Ferguson back in the side for Parra. No Jack Whiten. Matt Frawley and Sam Williams in the halves for the Canberra Raiders here. How do you see this playing out, Vonnie?
This will be our match of the round. As you mentioned, it's a tricky round. Round 19 promises to be. But, yeah, Mitch Moses, we're a bit shocked that it took 2 weeks to come out about those back fractures, and they sound really severe. But Brad Arthur jumped on the media yesterday and sort of said, look, it's not as bad as it sounds, and he could be back next week. He's back in the gym doing, you know, light weights and things like that. So hopefully he will return sooner rather than later. Jake Arthur gets to wear that 7. And I think when we saw Dylan Brown out with back fractures, Mitch Moses teamed up with his skipper and they came up with this really sort of flamboyant attacking style. So now the onus is on Dylan Brown to go to his captain Gutherson and keep the blue and gold definitely in that top four frame. They have been all season, but they've got the hardest run home of anyone, I think, because they've got the Roosters, well, they've got the Raiders, then they've got the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, Manly, Storm, Panthers. That's a horror run into September. So they really need to be up and running. Oddly, though, the Eels are living next door to the Raiders in their Gold Coast compound at the resort. So Ricky said, look, it's a little bit awkward when you're trying to get into the gym or get to breakfast because they're all sort of running into each other through their daily routines. But Ricky's got other, you know, other issues afoot. The doctor had nothing but bad news for the Green Machine this week. With Xavier Savage, sadly, he had surgery on that AC joint. And Jack Whiten, it's just up to Jack how much pain he can tolerate with those ribs. He is out this week, but hopefully he will be back. Look, I've tipped the Eels. I love that the Raiders went back-to-back, but I just feel like that little flourish ends now.
Yeah, I think Parramatta win this game. I think that, you know, without Whiten, without Savage, they've lost a lot of their strike. And I don't know whether, you know, they can score a lot of points in this game. They're going to have to defend like crazy. Parramatta are very good. Have a very good forward pack who just established really good momentum through the middle of the park. Ryan Madison's playing really good football on that right edge. Marnie coming back into the team has just given them some real starch, not only through his defence, but he's given them some creativity in the middle of the park. His ability to be, have that deception at dummy half. He's got a nice kick where he can put you into a corner. And he's smart when he knows when to run the ball. So I think he's a key factor in this Parramatta team. I like Dylan Brown as a player. And Gutherson, I mean, he's just an 8 out of 10 every week for this Parramatta team. So I think they've just got a little bit more strike than the Raiders. I hope the Raiders play well. They're confident. They've got that fight in them again. That's what I've enjoyed over the last couple of weeks, their ability to compete, because they were not competing for 80 minutes. They were, you know, going okay for 40 minutes and then they'd fade in the second half. But that hasn't been the case the last couple of weeks. But they'll go out there and start strongly, but I think Parramatta will get them in the end. So the Eels for me.
Round 19 in the NRL, going to the 6 o'clock game on Friday night. And this one is on the Sunshine Coast. It's the Roosters up against the Knights, and the market with Tab has the Roosters at $1.30. They're minus 10.5 at the line. Newcastle, $3.40. And, news certainly in the last 24 hours is that Josh Morris has been dropped for this game. Billy Smith starts in the centres along with Joey Manu. Significant, isn't it? At 34 years of age, off contract, and we just wonder the impact of Vonnie were talking about, and I think I'm sure I heard it on your show on 360 last night as well, just whether, you know, the hunger might have gone since his brother went down, and, you know, they were well placed to have a good run at a premiership together, and with all the injuries the Roosters have had, maybe the hunger's just starting to dissipate a little bit.
Yeah, which is really sad if that is the case for Josh Morrison. You mentioned that tough call that Trent Robinson had with him. He was straight up and said, look, you've got to go away, you've got to get yourself right, because, you know, since that career-ending ACL of his twin brother, Brent Morris, Josh's stats have halved. We were quite surprised when we had a look at it. But, you know, between round 1 to 8 compared to the second half of this season, now Brett got injured in round 7, the run metres have halved. The tries have well and truly dried up. He's only breaking half as many tackles, but he's missing twice as many. So, we spoke to Cooper Cronk and said, you know, who's around Josh, to help him. And he said, look, Brett is in and around the club. They are doing their best. But everyone wants to see Josh finish on a high. And you know, the boys deserve to, you know, celebrate a moment together. And you know, obviously, Brett won't be playing. But, you know, Josh has a chance to do something for the both of them. And, it was a bit of a reality check, I think, for Josh. So hopefully he can get the head on right and help the Roosters as they need every single voice on that field. They are so stretched with their starting 13. It's so thin. Jared Weir-Hargreaves has been Herculean. Joey Manu, who's not a natural talker, has had to really step up and own his presence on the field as well and get that communication going. I think Manu's probably the most elite, versatile player we have in this competition. Newcastle were disappointing again. The Storm put 48 on them last week, and still no Mitchell Pearce. So Phoenix Crossland and Jake Clifford are the 6 and 7 there. But the big news out of the Hunter this week is Kalen Ponga. His father, Andre, said that he will be absolutely committed to the club. They're offering the captaincy and a move to 5'8". They are throwing everything that the Hunter can offer at Kalen. And you can understand why they want to lock him up long term. So hopefully they're able to get all that done and sorted and the Knights can push on. But I'm tipping the Roosters here.
Yeah, I'm tipping the Roosters. And I think that Josh Morris, he's had a wonderful career and he may be just getting towards, well, he is. He's getting towards the end of his career. And, his body, he's had to put up with injuries for the last couple of seasons. And he does look a little bit tired and flat to me. And the way that the modern game is, it's not only your back three that have to do plenty of work coming out of your own end. It's the back five now, the centres. And when you look at his numbers compared to the other four in the back five last weekend, you see Tupou with 21 runs, you see Manu with 20 runs, you see Ikavalu with 21 runs, you see Billy Smith with 17 runs, and then you look at Josh Morris, 6 runs, 6 carries. So that's telling me something is happening with his body to either carry the ball and want to do that tough carry at the back end of the field, or he's just not right mentally or physically. So the rest could freshen him up and he might come back into the team. But when you're getting those numbers in today's game, that's not great. You can't carry someone in your back five that's only producing six runs, because it's so important for your outside men to carry the ball so you can give your forwards more of a rest. And the forwards need more of a rest now with the pace of the game. So they're resting when you're bringing the ball out of trouble. So everyone needs to share the responsibility coming out of your own red zone in your outside backs. And I think over the last couple of games, that hasn't been the case with Josh. And the fact that he's missed a few tackles and Robbo's decided to drop him and give him that chance to freshen up. But I've been impressed with the Roosters. They just get the job done. They haven't whinged. They haven't complained about who's in and out of the team. So I think they can beat Newcastle.
But
Roosters for me.
Roosters all round. We go to Friday night, and this one's at Queensland Country Bank Stadium there in Townsville. And, oh, geez, what about the line here? It's shifted from 23.5 to now 30.5. Cowboys the plus. They're $11 head-to-head. The Melbourne Storm are $1.03. We've had the news in the last, 16 hours or so, courtesy of NRL.com, that Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou, he's had his appendix out and he's probably out for the rest of the season, definitely at least 6 weeks. And you look at the Storm, $1.03 minus 30.5, and that's resting the likes of Cameron Munster, Felice Kaufusi, and Dale Finucane-Vonny.
Yeah, I mean, the Storm are just so set up. They are incredible. And the great news for the Storm is the return of Ryan Pappenhausen. Now, we haven't seen Pappenhausen since that horrible KO from Fui Maiono in Magic Round. And we all know that Ryan has suffered really severe headaches, memory loss, changes in his mood. So the situation's been really critical for Pappenhausen. And, you know, obviously they've taken every precaution and they want to reintroduce him very slowly. He'll come off the bench, but his welfare is the highest priority. But if you cast your mind back to the start of this season, it was Pappenhausen's game and the rest of us were just watching. He was dominating this season. So I'm so thrilled that he is back. But as you mentioned, yeah, it could be a long old Friday night in Townsville for the locals. Just a couple of weeks ago, poor old Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou was an Origin player and now he's rushed into the operating theatre to have an emergency appendix operation. They're saying the North Queensland Cowboys are saying 6 weeks, but remember Adam Reynolds had his appendix out a couple of years ago and he was back within 2 weeks. So hopefully they can get Tabuai-Fadou back because they really need it, because that is on top of all the injuries to Val Holmes and Javid Bowen. So North Queensland doing it really tough on the outside backs at the moment, but I mean, there's no way you could go anywhere near the Cowboys. This will be all the Storm on Friday night in North Queensland.
Yeah, I'm with the Cowboys, but you can excite me with... not the Cowboys, sorry, the Storm. But you can excite me with the Cowboys with 30 start.
I agree with that. I'd be taking them the plus every day here in this
game. That's a massive start.
Huge, but look what the Storm have
done. I know, but there's no Munster. You could nearly entertain the Cowboys.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an indictment on the game if the Cowboys are losing this by that margin.
Well, that
with the Storm having those players out, that's
embarrassing for them.
Let's face it. It is.
You know, they've still got a decent forward pack. They've got the ability to score some points, with Drinkwater there. I understand why Melbourne are favourites. Melbourne won't lose this game, but I could entertain Cowboys with the line at 30.
I'm with you. What are you, Pup?
No-brainer. Yeah. Melbourne by pick a number.
Yeah, I'm with Loz. I'm taking Cowboys in the plus in all my multis this weekend. Watch them lose by 32. Go for it, Vonnie.
Just on the Melbourne Storm, we're still waiting to hear from Craig Bellamy. He gets asked every post-match press conference, what are you doing next year? Time is running out. And with now six clubs interested in Dale Finucane, and he's expected the pressure's on him to sort of make a call as well. But Craig Bellamy, those closest to him think that he will stay in Melbourne and that will be announced in the next few days. So fingers crossed for Craig Bellamy and his family, and he's happy with his decision. So hopefully we can put it all to rest and move on with where the magnificent Belzer will end up.
You know what I reckon might have helped him, Vonnie? As silly as this may sound, the fact that they've been in Queensland for so long over the last 18 months, and he's got an opportunity to probably see his family a lot more than what he has done.
Yeah, I agree. He looks happy. And, you know, we know the Cheese is an unusual character at the best of times, but, you know, Brendan Smith chasing him around and they're, you know, they're giggling and like, Craig looks like he's had a new lease on life. And, you know, his daughter's up there, she's got a young family. Mm. I think it's really kind of helped freshen up the perspective. And, yeah, he's got a few things going on behind the scenes with his family. So, you know, he's had to take all of that into consideration. But I know that he would be very sad if it did come to, you know, having to walk away from Melbourne. But if you believe those in the know, they say that he's going to stay. So that's great news.
South and the Warriors, this is the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. It's at the Sunshine Coast Stadium, and the lines shifted in this one as well. It was 15.5, now 19.5, $1.10 with Tab of the Bunnies. The Warriors, $6.50. Look at the ins for South's. Jai Arrows back out of, isolation, straight into the side. Josh Mansell back in the side, and Latrell Mitchell back there at fullback. And the Warriors, well, just more injury carnage for them, Vonnie. They've lost Roger Tuivasa-Sheck with concussion. Torhu Harris out for the season. Wade Egan out for the season as well. Oh, gee, they've been resilient.
I love the Warriors, but this might be a bridge too far. No RTS, as you mentioned. Adam Fanua-Blake will skip at the side this week. And Kane Evans, he avoided sanction at the moment, but he just got a $5,000 fine for that expletive on his wrist, which is just so dumb and basic. But like for South Sydney, I don't think isolation was a good thing for Jai Arrow. Did you see, I think he lost his mind a little bit. Did you see him shaving his head over the balcony? He looked like Britney Spears having a meltdown. I'm a little bit concerned for Jai, honestly. Like, he's a bit of a loose unit, and we love that about him, and he's, you know, he's got that hard man mentality. And he does all that really horrific, tough stuff out on the field. But he's a bit of a liability too, away from footy. So I think Wayne's got to get Jai's head screwed on because the Bunnies really need him if they want to be there on that first Sunday in October. The NRL's leading try scorer, Alex Johnson, he's out for the month with a hamstring injury, but makes way for Josh Mansell to come back in. Trell's back. He's nice and fresh. Cody Walker had a week to cool off from his WrestleMania with Lachlan Lewis. I think the Rabbitohs will do it easy.
Yeah, Rabbitohs for mine, 13+. Latrell coming back into that team. They have arguably the best left edge attack in the game. You'd think that Josh Mansour will play left wing and he might be able to score a try or two. The only concern I have about the Rabbitohs when they play the top two teams is their ability to defend well consistently for long periods of time. I think that's something they need to work on between now and finals. Warriors, they were courageous last weekend. I still, for the life of me, can't work out how they let Rhys Walsh go. Every time I watch him play, I get excited.
You mean
about
the Broncos?
The Broncos, yeah. Sorry. How they let him go. Mm. I just see him and I just think, wow, what's he going to be like next year? What's he going to be like in 2 years' time? This kid could be
a superstar.
Can't
he? Yeah. Pup?
Rabbits.
Rabbits. They didn't cover against the Bulldogs. I think they'll be covering. 5:30 Saturday, Suncorp Stadium. Manly up against the West Tigers. And $1.10 Manly, minus 19.5 at the line. And the documentary stars the Tigers. They're $6.50. And look at these ins for Manly. Daly Cherry Evans, Jake Trbojevic, Tom Trbojevic. Look out the Tigers, Vonnie.
Yeah, the Seagulls are stacked coming into this game. As you mentioned, the Trbojevic boys are back. DCE is back. And I just expect Des Hasler to do Des things from here on in. He's going to be a very intense Manly hub that they have in Queensland. And thoughts and prayers for all the Seagulls who get a knock at the door at, you know, midnight with Des wanting to go over the game plan just one more time. So Des will be buzzing around. He'll be brilliant. He'll be quirky. And the Seagulls are going to be primed for a finals run. West Tigers, they would have been mad to move Dewey from 5-8. He had 5 try assists last week. He was so good. So he'll play 6 again. And look, apart from history being on the side of the West Tigers, they've won 5 of the last 7 against Manly. I can't see them troubling them. So tipping the Seagulls here.
Yeah, I'm going Manly. Just the Tom Trbojevic factor, just back into the team. He gives everyone else so much confidence. He and Cherry Evans were rested last weekend. They were still able to get the job done against the Dragons. Foran's playing some really good football. And their forward pack is now starting to take shape. You know, Schuster back into the team, playing on that left edge. I can see that side of the field becoming a real attacking zone for this Manly team. Tigers were competitive last week, but I just don't know whether they'll have the class. So Manly for mine.
Pup.
Yeah, Manly for me, buddy, unfortunately.
Oof. Yeah, Manly all round. Penrith are $1.09 up against the Brisbane Broncos at $7. The line here, 20.5. This is the 7:30 game on Saturday evening. And Jerome Luai back in the side for Penrith. Still no Nathan Cleary yet, though. Were the Broncos surprised to see no Xavier Coates in that side?
Yeah, the omission of Coates is a really tough one. I think, you know, just a fortnight ago he was in the Origin team winning game three, and now he can't even get a run for his club, the Broncos. So, and the word is out of Red Hill that they've got no plans to playing again this season. So we know that he is on the move to Melbourne. So they're trying to maybe broker an early trade. But, yeah, it's a bizarre situation for Xavier, and effectively he's the one that misses out. So poor old Broncos, I don't think they've got a hope in hell against Penrith. Jerome Luai's back, he's bouncing around, he's driving everyone nuts. Tyrone May will stay at the seven. Matt Burton will move back into the centres. And this could be the last game for James Fisher-Harris for a little bit. He's going to head back to Sydney. He's got a baby on the way. And this is where this whole Peter Pangai situation takes effect, because if James is out of the bubble, he has a baby, and then he has to spend 2 weeks quarantine getting back into the Panthers, that's the cover that Pangai offers. So expect to see all that play out over the next few weeks. But Penrith for me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Pangai Jr. going there. They're going to play him in the middle. I don't think he's got the motor to play in the middle. I think he's an edge player, and I think it's going to take time if they're to develop him into a middle forward, and that's where the Bulldogs may look to play him. But it's a if he's going to fill in for James Fisher-Harris, he'll have to pick up his work rate, because he's an elite player. So Penrith will miss him, but this Penrith side, they're humming. They're nowhere near their best without Nathan Cleary, but they will still be way too good for this Broncos outfit.
Yep, agree. Penrith.
Penrith all round. Let's go to the tightest market of the weekend considerably as well. St. George Illawarra, $2.45 with Tab and plus 5.5 at the line. The Gold Coast Titans are $1.53. This game is the 2 o'clock game on Sunday at Cbus Super. And Vonnie, we see some of those Dragons taking their suspensions for this game for the Paul Vaughan party. Corey Norman amongst them here. But gee, the Titans, we've said it a lot. I mean, if they were in Sydney, they would be getting bagged left, right and centre. And they may well be there north of the border, but they have been disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting slammed by the media up there. It's just a deflated feeling around the club, and internally they're really disappointed in their own standards. They've slipped offensively, so back into those horrible habits. They've conceded 468 points this season, which is their worst in club history. Look, they're not alone. The Tigers, the Cowboys, Broncos and the Bulldogs have all given up over 500, but still, for the Gold Coast, they've lost four of their last five. But the good news is Toby Sexton will make his debut. Now, who is Toby Sexton? He's a former Australian schoolboy who played alongside this incredible class that we are seeing now, 2021, of these rookies, but they were all in the 2019 Aussie schoolboys. So Reece Walsh, Sam Walker, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, they were all together in this wonderful crop. So Toby Sexton will be the next one up from that schoolboy side. He's been dominating in the Q Cup for Tweed. He is ready to go. He's very popular. He's a local kid. So look out for Toby. I've tipped the Dragons here. As you mentioned, Corey Norman is the latest to sit out for being a COVID idiot. He'll have Jaden Sullivan jumping in the sixth to partner Ben Hunt. Dusty Fuimaono and Cade Ellis are back. And Jack Bird's been really strong. He brings great form into his 100th NRL game.
I'm going for the upset. I'm going the Titans. I think they were that disappointing last weekend that they need a bounce back. No Jamal Fogarty. And you're right, young Sexton gets an opportunity. I just keep looking at this Titans forward pack. Fasua Mawali, Fifita, Proctor, Fodawaker, Wallace. I see them being able to get over the top of the Dragons forward pack, and if they can do that, I think a guy like Brimson can come into his own. They're inexperienced with Jaden Sullivan, Fee Guys, Cody Ramsey playing in the centres. So I'm going to go the upset here.
They are favourites.
Oh, they're the favourites. I thought the Dragons were
favourites. 5.5
Sorry,
favourites. No, well, but it's the tight market.
Yeah. No, I'll go the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going the Titans as well.
I just don't want to tip them, but Titans for me as well. 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, the Bulldogs up against the Sharks. Of course, the Bulldogs beat the Sharks earlier this season. And the market with Tab has the Dogs $3.70 plus 11.5 at the line, with Cronulla at $1.27 here. Vonnie, how do you see the last game of the round?
I'm going with the Bulldogs. I just think Canterbury Bankstown, they bring a competitive edge into this. Look, they were committed against the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. They've been in the contest, and you can't knock them for that. So I think I'm going to go the Bulldogs. News this morning that Kyle Flanagan's being shopped around to Super League clubs, and the Bulldogs are willing to chip in to help cover his salary. So obviously lots happening this week at the club. But just for Cronulla, and I love Cronulla, but they've got more class and abilities clearly than the Dogs. But Sean Johnson looked so disinterested last week. It was frightening. He's been very clear about that. He's not a fan living away from home in the hub, and I think that just showed with his effort on the field. I just think if your halfback is not plugged in, ready to go, then the Sharks will do it tough. So I'm going with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, if that's the case, you're having a strong conversation with Sean and saying, Sean, you know what, buddy? We want you to stay, but if your heart's not in it, you're better off to go. Go back to Sydney, and we'll find someone that wants to help us play finals football. If they're to play finals football, the Sharks, they have to beat the Bulldogs. So the Bulldogs were very courageous last weekend against South Sydney, but I'll stick with the Sharks. I think they can play finals football, and if this team turns up, I think they're a better team than the Dogs at this stage.
Yep, I'm Sharks as well.
Again, Sharks, but yeah, not much confidence. All right, Vonnie, so for those who missed the start of your segment today.
I went early, I'm sorry.
Uncle Laurie, who now has his own Twitter account for those who want to follow.
What is it?
I'll just try to find the tagline here, but it's at Laurie Uncle.
Beautiful.
So because Uncle Laurie was obviously taken, so at Laurie Uncle, Uncle Laurie. Has his own Twitter account.
And there's a beautiful photo of him as a little boy holding one of our racehorses, the family racehorses. It's good.
I love it.
He's having a ball. And thanks for the retweet. He sent me a message saying, look at me go. Jared Croker gave him a like. It's all happening.
You'll need a manager next.
Exactly. So his tip for Saturday, Rose Hill Race 10, number 11, Zach Hatch.